Oh, I'm not supposed to sit with my legs crossed. Oh, I'm not supposed to sit this way. So I'm going to tell you today that that's all garbage. You can sit any way you want. It's just a matter of learning how to sit with your legs crossed. Okay? It's how do you sit Indian style. How do you sit? You can sit with one leg like this. It's okay. Why is it not okay? It's amazing when somebody tells us something, too. We just totally, okay, well, that's like the golden rule. That I mean, can you see that if you spend your whole life sitting like this, what a constraint that would be? That's a constraint. And there's going to be situations where you don't want to do that. And then you're unhappy. Okay? So you might want to sit with a leg up like this. You know, you might be at some kind of situation where you can't sit with your feet down. Okay? And you need to turn yourself in a funny way. So what do? What do you move? You work with yourself in the environment. So it's okay. And if you want to sit with your legs crossed, that's fine. What I had Marcy do is the difference is you sit with your legs crossed and go back like this. And then you sit like this. That's the question. Or can you actually learn to do a lot of the movements we did sitting with your legs crossed, and eventually you can make circles with your pelvis? And can you do it with the other legs crossed? How do you move with your ribs and your spine? So instead of taking away sitting positions from you, what I'd like to leave you with at the end of this day is to think about how many different sitting positions can you come up with and take yourself through the movements that we've done today. That's your homework. You leave here and you try every possible sitting position and use what we've done in here to apply it. Does that make sense? So it's not about removing sitting positions, but to make what we're doing here useful in all those different ways instead of thinking it's wrong. Like, what's wrong about it? What's wrong about sitting with the legs crossed? I don't know. That doesn't make too much sense to me because it seems like people like to do it. Right? So it's more as how could it be useful, functional, and if it's creating pain or a problem, what could you do differently? What are you not moving or using about yourself? Does that make sense? Okay. Yes, David.
When you've gone through as many surgeries or whatever, working with doctors and physical therapists, who have told you not to cross your legs because of what it's doing to your the alignment of your spine or the pelvic itself, mm-hmm. the pelvis itself, mm-hmm. and the circulation problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the one that's got that big piece of paper on the wall.
Oh dear! Did I just go against a big piece of paper on the wall?
Not obviously what
that. Oh good. Okay. What? Well, you know, this is a really hard thing. This is what I come up against all the time, is that, I've got people that come to me and the doctor said this. And I say, well, you'll either have to trust me or trust the doctor. I don't believe in those kinds of restrictions. I mean, see, they leave out a big chunk. Because, yes, if you sit with your leg crossed like this, for hours at a time, you're going to have a circulation problem, but you're also going to have a circulation problem if you sit like this for hours at times. So they leave out chunks of information, which is to do any one position for a long period of time where you're sitting on your pelvis and your tailbone, you're going to cut off circulation and blood. But why can't you sit with your legs crossed? And what you learned in the workshop so far is how to move your pelvis and how to be off that area. You're not going to cut off the circulation. So they don't tell you how does circulation get cut off. They just tell you something does it. They don't tell you why, how it happens, and how could you possibly sit in that position and not have it happen. They leave out all that information. So it's frustrating. Does that make sense? So they leave out why does the circulation gets cut off because you're sitting with your pelvis tucked under. You're sitting on part of your thigh, so you're cutting off the blood flow. So the answer is, how do you not do that, but can sit in a variety of ways? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that gives you a lot more options in the world. But they don't take the time to do that. That's why you have Feldenkrais people. Okay, ready to do a lesson? Yeah? Okay, so come to the edge of your chair. And trying to think who it was. Where's my gal that brought up the question? What's your, Alexandra? Okay. Am I saying it right?
Alessandra.
Okay, so come to the edge of your chair and close your eyes, check in with yourself. And just notice for yourself if you are in your familiar way of sitting, or are you sitting a little bit differently already? So just observe how you're sitting. So if it's a little different, the reason I brought up, I turned it on before, yeah. The reason I brought up, are you seeing a little bit different than we started?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, does that answer your question about driving in the car? A little bit. So something happened that already you want to sit differently.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. So begin, as you're sitting there with your hands resting on your thighs, to lift your left hip. So you lift the left hip, means also the left side of the buttocks, and you lower it. Not the knee, not the foot, hip, butt, cheek. And notice what happens in your spine as you lift the left side. So first observe your spine. Begin to notice what's happening in the shoulder girdle area, the two shoulders, and your head. So you just lift it and lower it. Okay. Good. And notice, does your head begin to tilt slightly to the left? Or to the right? That's it. So you lift the left sit bone, and most likely your head tilts to the left, but notice your spine is going to the right. And ask yourself, where in your spine, what part of your spine generally is going to the right? Good. Now, so Stephanie, can you let your spine go? So see if you can, there. You're really good at just doing the hip. We'll get to that. Come back to the center. And now let's lift your right hip. So you lift it and lower it. And notice, for everybody, one hip will lift easier. Again, that means it's more familiar. And then you start to ask the question, why? And what's happening with your spine? Does your spine like to bend more to the left than it did to the right? Or is it about the head that likes to tilt? And pause and just rest for a moment. Can you rest on the edge of the chair? Is that okay, without scooting back? Okay, so now this time, sitting as closely as you can to being on those sit bones. It will be most useful if you sit in that way that you learned earlier. You're going to take your spine right through your chest area to the right. So locate, think of right through the center of your sternum and go to the back side. And you want to move that part of your spine to the right. So that's what generates the movement, not your head. We call it the thoracic part of the spine. For us women, it's above your chest. So take that part of your spine to the right, and then come back to the center. How do you do that?
Are we leaning or rotating?
You're side bending. So there's no rotation. No leaning, but side bending. So that's it. Go to the right. Good. Now, as you continue to take that part of your spine, so it's right through here, thinking of this upper part of the spine to the right, feel at the same time that the left hip joint will lift. So you piece those two together. But you start the movement with the spine. I want you to start or initiate, and then you hook the pelvis. How does it feel to move that part of your back? That's it, Jody. Now just continue a little bit more to add in that the left ear tilts down towards the left shoulder. So you start with the spine, you feel the left hip lifting up, and your left ear will tilt down towards the left shoulder. But again, you start the movement through this area in your spine. Your spine moves first. Good. Clear? Now come back to the center, and just a couple times lift now the left hip. And just see what that's like now. Is it lighter? Is it easier? How is it now? Think? Do it again. You don't think more of you is moving? No? Okay, sit back and rest. Okay, please come to the edge of your chair again. And take yourself again to that part in your spine. And you're going to begin to move it now to the left. So it's as if, imagine somebody hooked their fingers around that part of your spine and started to pull it to the left. You can use any type of visualization to make it happen for you. So whatever you can think of. So you're not leaning. So some of you are like taking your whole upper body leaning. You feel that? So everybody do that. Everybody lean to the left. Is that right? See, I want to take... Yeah, but some people are leaning to the left. So what you do is you make your spine a stick. If your spine is a stick and I ask you to take it all over from one point, do you see that you would lean to the left? So everybody do that. That's how some people are doing it. Not that it's wrong, but this is, they don't know how to bend. Right? Okay, so now let's try it the other way, which is, so let's say the constraint is that you just hook one or two vertebrae, and only those two are allowed to go to the left. And all the rest of the vertebrae, above and below, go to the right. You understand, Stephanie? Okay, let's see. So you only get to take two to the left. Everything else goes to the right. Is that clear? Okay, you can do it. Okay, Alessandra. Okay, you're still tilting. So think two. Huh? But see, your shoulder's going over. Think two. Huh? But you're still leaning over. Think two. Take your shoulder over the other way. Ah, that's it. Okay, now do it again. That's it. Okay, keep doing it. So it's like making a C, a giant C. So you look for in the C or the arc, the two places that pull, the middle of the arc that makes the arc happen. Does that make sense? That's where you initiate the movement. That's it, Alison. That's it. Good. Now begin to let the right hip lift. And lower the right ear to the right shoulder. That's it. So, and the ear should lower at the same ratio as you're lifting the right hip, because you're making an arc. Okay? Very nice. Good. Good. Now come back to the center And just lift the left hip and see, or the right hip, excuse me, and see how that feels. And again, just look for, is something lighter, easier, is anything different? If it's exactly the same, we're in trouble. I'm not doing my job good. Okay, sit back and rest. Okay, come to the edge of your chair again. And again, it's best if you can sit on those sit bones. So if you're really rounded, it makes it more difficult to do this lesson. It's not impossible, but it adds another constraint. So it's best to sit on your sit bones in the edge of the chair. And now this time, you draw your attention to your right shoulder blade. So that's this guy. And the edge of your shoulder. And you want to think of that going to the right. So it's as if somebody was going to pull your right shoulder over to the right. And once that starts, it hooks in to your two vertebrae that you were working with before that go over to the right. Okay? But the movement starts by the shoulder blade and then connects to the spine. Is that clear? So start with the shoulder and the spine. Remember, though, that your left ear will go a little bit over to the left. Just a little bit. It's less now. So start the movement by pulling that right shoulder blade over. That's it. So we're actually straightening the arc a little bit. Okay? The bow is getting straighter because there's now a diagonal going from the right shoulder through those two vertebrae down to your left hip. So the left hip is lifting, but it's not the same curve. Do you see that? Because you're now actually leaning onto the right sit bone. So it's different than what we did last time. That's it. So you pull the right shoulder out to the side, the right shoulder blade. That's it. It connects. It hooks to those two vertebrae. And all of a sudden, the left hip gets light, and your weight is onto your right sit bone. So the head is just the slightest tilt. Now, can you remember what you did last time? No? You remember what the previous was? Okay, go back to the previous one. Challenge yourself. I'm going to challenge you. So bend from the spine, right? The hook is just at the spine, and you create a big arc. See how that's different? Good. Okay, so go back to the shoulder. So you pull your shoulder and the scapula over to the right. That's it. Good. And now at the same time that you do that, you're going to begin to let your head turn to the left. And think of your chin. Your chin is going to begin to look over towards your left shoulder. And you would like to have your chin on the horizon. So for those of you looking down, bring your head up to the horizon. And as you pull the right shoulder out, you start to turn with your chin. So now you've got some rotation happening. Okay, good. Slow it down a little bit, a little slower. So you first start with the shoulder, pull, and then turn. So those two vertebrae again start to turn. So they pull and turn, and look for that relationship. Pull and turn, and the turning happens as the chin moves over towards the left shoulder. Okay? That's nice, Melissa. That's it, Jody. Now, can you think of your nose being the focus of the turning? Good. Okay, everybody rest. Beth needs to rest. Everybody needs to rest. Working you too hard. It's hard work. Being aware. Okay, please come to the edge of your chair again. And we'll just continue just a little bit more, same thing we were doing. So you start the movement with the right shoulder. So the right shoulder is being pulled over. Those two areas in your spine are being pulled over. And then you start to turn with your nose. So you feel those two vertebrae then kick into turn as your nose turns. And you get light on the left hip. Now, to take it a little bit further, as your nose comes over to the left of the shoulder, begin to let the left shoulder hook to your nose and start to move behind you a little bit. But you don't move the left shoulder until your nose is there, your nose and your chin. That's it. Excellent. Good. Okay. Sit back and rest. The last instruction was to connect your shoulder to your nose. Mm-hmm. Okay, please come to the edge of your chair again. So you're sitting forward, have your chin on the horizon, and begin now with the left shoulder blade. And you're going to just pull it out to the left. So again, there's very little tilting now with the head. We're not doing a big tilt. Very little, smaller. You just think of pulling that shoulder blade out to the left, and it hooks into those two vertebrae that bend. But it's not as big of a bend, right? It's more of a smaller arc. And as you take the left shoulder further to the left, you feel how you get light onto the right hip joint. Good job. And for some of you, this may be, one shoulder might be significantly more difficult for you than the other. So if it is, you just have to hallucinate and imagine it. This is really difficult for me to get my left shoulder to move. So that's it. Good. Now, can you continue to take the left shoulder to the left and begin to let your chin move over to the right? So again, you start the movement with the left shoulder, then the spine. You feel the right hip gets light, and then your chin starts to turn. That's it. Good. Okay. Let's take a little rest. Okay. Please come to the edge of your chair again. And we'll just continue with the left shoulder blade, the left shoulder pulling first over to the left, grabbing the spine, and then starting to turn those vertebrae. So think of your nose and your chin together coming over to your right shoulder. So you don't move your shoulder back yet. You wait till the chin and your nose come over to the shoulder. And then once that occurs, you can start to bring the right shoulder back. You see, there's a very specific order and sequence. That's the constraint I'm putting on you to learn something about that area in your mid-back. Nice, Carolyn. So the other thing to notice is as you start to take the right shoulder back, what happens with the left knee? Does what?
Comes up.
Think again. Yeah, forward. See how smart you guys are. It's forward. Amazing, right? That's it. Good. Just do it once or twice more and then. Excellent, Jodies. Two Jodies in the front. Okay, and everybody rest. Just really sit back and rest. Okay, come back to the edge of your chair. Good. And let's go back to taking the left shoulder again to the left, as far as you can, moving the spine, then turning the nose, the chin, taking the right shoulder back, left knee forward. Just see how far can you go. Now, if everything is really participating, there should be a sense that you're turning around yourself, more like a corkscrew. So if you're leaning too far off to the left, then you lost the bit about your left shoulder actually should come forward when your right shoulder goes back. So you pull the left shoulder out. That's better, Beth. Then your spine begins to turn, your nose turns, your shoulder, your right shoulder goes back, left knee comes forward, and left shoulder comes forward. That's it, Carolyn. That's it, Julie, yeah? So you're like turning around yourself now. But you start it through a side bending. That's it, Stephanie. That's it. Now, can you do the same thing to the other side without me giving you all the clues? This is a true test, Alessandra. Is that right? Of your body's intelligence. So do it to the other side. Let's see how quickly you've learned something. This will reassure you that during driving in the car, something will click in. So you know what to do? Yeah. Most of you, yeah? Can you do it a couple times now to the right? Which way is easier, more familiar? Could you do it a little quicker and faster? Could you go once to the right and once to the left? So let's not think so much, because that was one of her requests. How am I going to be able to do this in the car without thinking? So just how fast can you go back and forth now without thinking? Just, or there'll be pieces of it that you'll remember. So even quicker. And go as fast as you can and ask yourself, where do you initiate the movement now? There's probably two places that become really dominant. Yeah? Okay, come back and sit back and rest. Okay, come back to the edge of your chair again and bring your both of your arms straight out in front of you, comfortable height, and go back to our first movement, which was to lift the right sit bone, the right hip, and then the left. So first lift the right, good, and then lift the left. just go back and forth. And feel how your head and your ear will naturally tilt towards the side that you lift. So if you lift the right, your head goes to the right. And if you lift the left, that's it. Can you go a little faster? And feel that area that we've been focusing on in between your shoulder blades, that part of your spine, how that bends, left and right. Can you make it lighter? How light can you make it? Are you breathing? Can you go faster? What happens if you go really fast? Really fast. Really, really, really fast. That's it. So your head quiets down a little bit. Try it with your head getting a little quieter. That's it. Okay, rest. Doing okay? Okay, so one last time, come to the edge of your chair and lift your arms. And now this time, as you lift your right sit bone, tilt your head to the left. Good. And now as you lift your left sit bone, take your head to the right. I know, it's really hard to take something. So you lift the right, take your head to the left. So you have to kind of be like a stick. This is somewhat of a dangerous thing that people end up doing in life. Because what happens is you lose all your differentiation. And what eventually happens, I just did a workshop on this about balance, is the room starts to move. Your perception is that the room is moving because you're not. And then pretty soon they really believe that. So the best way to change that is high levels of differentiation. So go back, arms out, and now just let your head do what it wants to do. Focus on the hips, and just lightly lift one, lower. Just go, again, as quickly as possible. And can your arms be relaxed while they're lifted? Are they, I mean, there's a certain amount of effort, but how fun can you have with it? Can you really move the rib cage? Have fun. Is it possible to have fun? I do. That's it. It's like dancing. Imagine if you were dancing in your chair. There you go. That's it. Fabulous. Okay. And rest. Okay. Sit back and rest. And just take a moment to see how you feel. Think about maybe what you've learned. We're doing on time. Oh, we're good. Actually, what I'd like you to do now, it's not a break because we're going to end soon, so we're just going to keep rolling, but I would like you to stand up and walk around a little bit and see what's happened with your walking, how you feel in your body now. Do you feel fatigued or is there a sense of more aliveness? Just walk around. What's moving? And then what I'd like you to do now is come back and find your partner. So get close to your partner that you had before. So we're going to pair up again. And you guys can sit down for a minute. We'll just sit close to your partner. So just relocate. So first of all, how are you guys doing? Good? So what did you guys learn in that lesson? You can dance in your chair. Yeah. What else? Nothing else? Christy.
When I turn to I think it's to the right side, like this, there's a tendency for my thigh to tense. And it takes a lot of concentration to sort of make it realize that it doesn't need to
do that.
In order to move back.
Good. Yes?
When I rotate, I can use my shoulder more rather than my neck.
Fabulous. Great. Anybody else realize that too? Yes. Good. So look at how quickly it changed for Julie. That's how See how quick it happens? Right? Great. What else? Jody? Anything?
I realized I was tensing in my hip as I was turning.
Okay, what about this area in your back? How often do you pay attention to that area in your back? I mean, it's like usually like a dead zone for most of you, right? So was it interesting to become aware of that area? And did any of you feel like perhaps by being aware of that and working with it, you felt more support sitting and the rest of yourself by moving from there? So the other thing is again, that most of us, if we're sitting in chairs, back to, we get very collapsed in the chair in a certain sense. So two things that we're going to work on now as you pair up, but is it, so if we get like this, that area, right, is usually back against the back, so you can't move it, nor is the pelvis available. So two of the biggest places we've been working with aren't available for movement. So hopefully you're getting the idea that about sitting is the more that you can use yourself in movement, and i.e. pelvis, i.e. spine, the less you're going to have discomfort in your neck, your shoulders, your lower back. Does that make sense? Kind of? Yes? So, okay. So what I'd like you to do is pair up again and go back to picking a different sitting situation. Okay, for each other, that, you know, and if just whatever sitting situation. And it can be one maybe that you just want to explore. Like, for example, Jody here in the front, horseback rides. It's a great one. Let's take that. Or it could be riding on a bike. Okay? Anything that you want to choose now. It doesn't just have to be around work, but let's just take another sitting situation. The one person's going to sit and describe that situation, and then the other person, take them through some of these variations, thinking about if I can get their spine to move, whether it's rotating, side bending, I can get their hips and their pelvis to move, how does that change their experience for the sitting? And why would that be useful? Why would that be useful for, you could think about reaching. Okay, we've talked about driving, but what about reaching? What about bending? I mean, when I'm driving the car, because I've had a little girl, she's 6 and a half now, but I mean, it was constantly learning how to, I always put her on this side because this side's impossible. You cannot drive and be doing this. But you can get away with driving and reaching back and turning. And it's like, you have to go to these extreme things. So it's like, how do you do that? It's like, if I don't move in my pelvis, there's no way I can do that. You know? So, not that it's like highly recommended in the car, but I break all the rules. So, reaching back there. I mean, there's times it's like, you know, the bottle drops and I'm like down, you know, having to get something. So I know I should pull over, but anyway, you're happy, San Diego. So I would like you to explore that and just really think about what we did and taking it into other situations, or if you want to take it into the same situations, working with some of these different variations, okay? So we're going to do this. We're right now at quarter till, so we'll go till 5 after, okay? It gives 10 minutes for each person, okay? And then we'll just wrap it up. We'll answer any questions and concerns and stuff like that. Is that clear? So I just want you to really play with this idea of what happens when I lift the sit bone, what happens when I move, you know, and any kind of situation of sitting, like I said, it could be horseback riding, it could be riding a bike, whatever you can think of. Bleachers at a child's game, okay? Riding on a bus, I don't know, okay? Okay, so one of you start, one be the sitter and describe the situation. And or like sewing, does anybody sew? Sewing machines, I mean, there's so many situations to think about. It could be a hobby, if anybody does woodworking. Do any of you do needlepoint? Okay? Any of those things? How are you doing?
Have you come to ask your question?